This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Stephen Sondheim's 1971 musical Follies was just revived by the New York City Center Encore series, which stages concert versions of musicals for very brief runs. My guest Victor Garber starred in the Encore's production of Follies, which ran from February 8th through 11th, but there's talk about moving it to Broadway. Garber was also in the original productions of Sondheim's Sweeney Todd and Assassins. On TV, he starred in Alias as a spy who's the father of a spy, played by Jennifer Garner. The series ended last year, a year in which Garber also starred in the courtroom series Justice. His movies include Titanic, Legally Blonde, and Exotica. I spoke with Victor Garber Tuesday, the day after Follies closed. Victor Garber, welcome to Fresh Air. The Encore series is a series of concert productions, which means sometimes the actors actually carry scripts in their hand. There's no real sets. Costumes are very simple. How is it different for you as an actor?
Well, I saw an Encores years ago, and they were much more, they've become much more elaborate in the last few years. And the book, you actually are required to hold the book by law, of equity law, because it is a reading. It is called a staged reading. But they have become so
Wait. Does that explain why you had the script in the first part when you walked on and then didn't have it the rest of the time?
No, I had it the whole time.
Oh, I stopped noticing.
Well, that's what happens. Okay. The only time I didn't have it is the very final number. But I was a stickler for holding the script because some of the actors, the other actors, you know, closed their book during the scenes. I always had it there just in case. Uh-huh, and I, in fact, did have to look down a few times. But, you know, we only have 10 days rehearsal, so it's kind of insane. It's kind of like I would think it's like what summer stock was like, you know, which I've never done, but you know, where you rehearse for, you know, a week and then put on a show, and it's literally everyone is in a sort of a blind panic backstage, and then you just go out there and you can't believe you're in front of people in such a short time, but it's that is also exhilarating. And the great part for me is that, you know, you only do it six times and then you don't have to do it anymore, because I kind of like that aspect of it. It's the eight show a week thing for a long time that I've grown to. It's harder for me as I've gotten older.
Do you not like repeating the same character, the same lines over and over?
No, actually, over a very extended time. No, I actually don't mind that. For me, it's the musical, it's singing, because particularly Sondheim, you know, you have to be in flawless voice. You can't sort of, you know, sing through too many mornings. You have to really be in great shape. And one little, you know, phlegm ball and it's ruined. And it's very stressful. You know, I found it very stressful.
Now, there's a song in Follies in which your character does his version of a top hat, white tie, and tail song. And he actually, you know, has one of those dancing canes. And he's singing about how his creed is live, laugh, and love. But in the middle of the song, when I saw it, and don't interrupt me while I ask you this question.
Okay.
In the middle of the song, when I saw it, you dropped your cane. And then you were so rattled, you forgot a few of your lines. And I was so nervous for you, and I thought, should I bring this up in the interview or will it be embarrassing? And of course, a split second later, I realized, no, your character's having a breakdown and your character dropped a cane and your character is forgetting his lines and it's all kind of scripted in. But because I'd never seen Follies before, like, you really had me, and I felt so bad for you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. No, it's interesting because a lot of my friends came last night. We closed last night, and several of them were, and they'd actually seen Follies, and they'd forgotten that that's what happens. And so many people have mentioned that, and it's one of those great opportunities to you know, fake the audience, and it's, you know, also what makes live theater so thrilling, because the possibility is I have dropped the cane and I have forgotten the lyrics, and but in fact it's all staged.
When did you first see Follies, and what did it mean to you?
Well, actually, I saw the original Of course, I was a child. But I saw it in New York, in, I think it was 72. I can't, but it was in the early 70s. And I just got a single ticket for, and I sat in the front row of the theater. I think it was the Winter Garden Theater. And it was a dazzling experience because, first of all, you know, for me, Sondheim, Sondheim sort of is the reason I really became an actor. His music, I heard Anyone Can Whistle when I was very young. I was living in Toronto at the time, and this friend of mine played me this score, and it was sort of like I've said this before, but it's true. It was sort of like a siren call for me to come to New York. It was what really intrigued me about musical theater. And because up until that point, I hadn't really, you know, I mean, I loved Carousel. I loved The King and I was in them when I was a kid. But this music and these lyrics were so struck a chord in me that I'd never experienced. And that's kind of so that's really one of the reasons I wanted to come to New York. And Follies, of course, was playing, and I had to see it. So that was my first Sondheim show that I saw.
And then just a few years later, you were cast in the original production of Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd in the role of Anthony, the sailor.
Yes.
It must have been overwhelming for you to have come to New York in part because of a Sondheim musical and then end up in a Sondheim musical.
It was truly an extraordinary experience for me because I went into the audition, and I think I was studying voice with a teacher who, you know, I think I sang some, you know, Italian art song, not terribly well, because I'm not really classically trained, and but there was something, and I what was really terrifying was that everybody, all the other guys who were auditioning, all sounded like, you know, they just had these phenomenal voices, and I was very intimidated. But they saw something in me. I don't know whether it was just I was green, but that they thought was right for the character. And so they asked me if I would learn a song from the show and then come back and audition with the song. And I said, yeah, I would. And the next thing I knew, I was on a bus going down Second Avenue to Stephen Sondheim's house, which was like, it was surreal, frankly. And, you know, he answered the door, and I walked in, and went up to the second floor where his study is and where his piano is, and then he sat down at the piano, and I put on my little tape recorder and my little cassette. You know, in those days, that's what we used, and he struck the first chords of Joanna, and sang into my tape recorder the song Joanna, which, you know, of course, people now know, and I just thought, well, that's the most beautiful thing I've ever heard. And I went home and learned it because I don't read music, and so I had to learn it just, you know, by ear, and then I went in and sang it and got the part, and I wish I still had that cassette, but I, of course, lost it somewhere along the line.
That'd be a great cassette to have.
It would be something.
Well, we should listen to you singing Joanna from the original cast recording of Sweeney Todd. And this is the song you sing when you've fallen in love with a beautiful young woman, but she's the ward of a very mean judge who has done all kinds of cruel things that I won't go into. And so this is Victor Garber from the original cast recording of Stephen Sondheim's Sweeney Todd.
I feel you, Joanna. I feel you. I was half convinced I'd waken, satisfied enough to dream you. Happily, I was mistaken, Joanna. I'll steal you, Joanna. I'll steal you. Do they think that walls can hide you? Even now I'm at your window. I am in the dark beside you. buried sweetly in your yellow hair. Till I'm with you, then I'm with you there, sweetly buried in your yellow hair.
Victor Garber, it must have been so thrilling when the music is like swelling behind you and you're singing this song.
Yeah, it when I think back to those days, I was young and sort of inexperienced, and I didn't really, really appreciate it until I went back to see the show. After I had left the show, I actually left after 6 months, or I was one of the first to leave because, frankly, I forget how old I was, but I was sort of. I wanted to play sort of older people. I felt the character of Anthony at that time was, I just couldn't muster up the naivete anymore. I just sort of felt like I had I couldn't do it. And so I finished my the run for my contract. And then I went back when Angela Lansbury and Len Carrier were about to leave. And I just went. I just took some friends, and we went back to see the show. And I realized, as I was sitting there, what I had been in. You know, it was sort of like because when you're in it, you don't really, you obviously can't see it. And I mean, I knew the score was extraordinary, and I knew the people in it were extraordinary. But to see it, from an audience perspective, was truly memorable. And I thought, wow, I wish I had known that more when I was doing it.
It's funny. It's almost as if you have two or maybe three different careers, because there's the career you have on stage and, in musicals and dramas, and people who follow theater really know you for that. And then there's the career you've had in movies and the career you've had on television, where you're really famous for Alias, in which you played the father of Jennifer Garner, and you're both like double agents who it's always really confusing who you're working for.
Oh, you think it was confusing to me too?
I was going to ask
by
you if it
way.
Was confusing to you.
Oh,
if you
I
ever
could barely
if you were
follow
always
it.
Sure which side you were working for.
I never knew. It was a joke often. I say, "No, what am I doing now? Who am I? Am I for this or against this?" You know, it's like we would laugh a lot about it. But it was, listen. For me, being an actor was always about doing different things. That, to me, signified what an actor was. And I was so grateful that I never got slotted into just one thing, be it, all musicals, drama, whatever. I just, the first thing I did in New York was Ghosts at the Roundabout Theater when it was, under a supermarket on in Chelsea, and then I got to do and Godspell as the movie, the musical. So I had already basically done different things, and so I just felt so fortunate that I was never typed, because that to me would be kind of a death sentence. I would go mad if I had to sort of do the same thing all the time.
How did you get the part in Alias? What was the audition like? And I mean, how did you even know that there was an audition?
Well, I had, I'd been sort of reading pilot scripts for a few years, because I was interested in possibly doing something like that. And the script came to my attention, and I read it, and I thought it was one of the best scripts I'd read. J.J. Abrams had written this pilot, and I read the first scene that my character had in the pilot, which was a phone conversation with his would-be son-in-law, and he basically he sort of dismisses him in a really cold and sarcastic and extremely, to my way of thinking, funny way. And that's, I said, okay, I want to do this. And that was really, that scene is what did it. And so I called my agent, and they said, oh, well, at that time they were interested in all these big stars. And I said, well, fine, if they ever get down to it, call me and I'll audition. And, you know, and I got the job. I mean, it was really, I went after it, and I was really happy to get it because I thought the script was so good. And then, you know, 5 years later, we finished.
Well, I want to play that scene that you just mentioned that made you want to do this series. And
really?
In this scene, oh. This is from the first episode, and in this scene, the man who has just proposed to your daughter, played by Jennifer Garner, and she's accepted. So now her fiancé is calling you up to ask you for her hand in marriage. And here's the scene.
Yeah.
Oh, Mr. Russo.
Yes.
Hi, it's Danny Hecht.
Sydney's boyfriend.
Is Sydney all right?
Oh, yeah.
She's fine. Nothing to worry about. I'm calling because I'm planning on asking Sydney to marry me.
And I was hoping to get your approval.
Danny, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
How well do you know my daughter?
We've been dating for 2 years.
Because if you feel the need to ask me about this scenario, I have a sense you don't know Sydney at all.
So I love your daughter, and I want to marry her. That's why I'm calling.
First of all, Danny, the truth is, this is just a courtesy call. Like when you say to your neighbor, we're having a loud party on Saturday night, if that's all right with you. What you really mean is, we're having a loud party on Saturday night.
Mr. Russo.
Sydney doesn't give a damn what my opinion is. What interests me is that you do.
It's just a custom to call the father. That's all this is.
Well, then, I'll tell you what. I may become your father-in-law, and that's just fine. But I will not be used as part of a charming little anecdote you tell your friends at cocktail parties so they can see what a quaint, old-fashioned guy Danny really is. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Good. Then welcome to the family.
That's Victor Garber in the first episode of Alias. Now, you grew up in Canada. In Toronto?
Well, I grew up, outside of Toronto and then started my career in my teens in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Now, I read that your mother was an actress and singer. What kind of performances, what kind of work did she have?
She had a talk show in London, Ontario, where I was born, and her name was Hope Garber. And it was called At Home with Hope Garber, which was ironic because she was the worst housekeeper. imaginable, but she was very glamorous and she had a lovely quality, and she was sort of a celebrity in our town. I mean, people knew who she was, and she would do she also had a beautiful singing voice, and she would do, when she was younger, she was a band singer, and then as she got older, she would do these occasional benefits and fashion shows, and she would sing, and she did that while I was growing up. And then when my parents separated, she moved to Toronto, and then eventually she moved to L.A. and she pursued her acting career then. But she really didn't do very well, and she would get occasional, you know, one line in a sitcom or, you know. But she worked, you know. She did stuff, and it was her kind of her dream to be on television and be in movies, and she did it a little bit.
Your first movie role was playing Jesus in Godspell.
Yeah.
The movie, yes.
Yes.
And I think you'd been in the stage production in Canada before that.
Yes, I was cast in the Toronto production. You know, the director was sort of touring, seeing, at that time there were like 10 or 12 companies of Godspell that had settled in different cities, and we were the Canadian version. And I think we were the last one he saw. And then he was there opening night, and then I read in the paper the next day or the day after that he was going to cast me in the movie. That's how I heard I was going to do it, and it was kind of, you know, an amazing thing. And that's the famous cast, you know, Marty Short, Andrea Martin, Gilda Radner, Eugene Levy, Paul Schaefer was the musical director. It was
the stage production you're talking about.
It was the stage production, yes. So that's when all of that started, and then I went to New York to do the movie.
Have you seen the movie lately?
Well, I can't possibly watch it.
Oh, is it dated looking?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I mean, I can't. There are, you know, it has its fans, and I'm very happy about that. But no, it's not something I could sit through. But we did dance on the World Trade Center. That was
that was
a phenomenal thing that happened. That I, it really was only after like 2 days after the buildings came down that I realized that I had danced on top of it. It didn't dawn on me until a couple of days afterwards. But it was an amazing experience.
We were dancing on one of those balconies on the top of the building, or what?
It was before the buildings were finished, and we took the elevator up to the top as far as it would go. I can't remember which building it was, but they were not finished and they were not occupied yet. And we climbed scaffolding and ladders to get to the top, and then there was a helicopter shot that went along the side. It was the very end of All for the Best, and the whole dance and song sequence was, you know, we were at Lincoln Center, we were at all these different landmarks. We danced in front of the Accutron sign as the Accutron mimicked what we were doing. It's kind of a great number, and then it ends with you know yes, it's all for the best, and we're dancing on top of the World Trade Center.
You were in a TV production of Annie. That's really good.
Thanks.
It's you and Alan Cumming. And
Kathy Bates.
Yeah, Kathy Bates.
Audra McDonald.
Audra McDonald. Yeah.
Kristen Chenoweth. Mm-hmm, yeah, it's a really good cast.
I don't imagine you've done other Annies, but what was it like doing it for the camera? Like doing a musical for the camera, as opposed to doing it on stage.
Well, I loved it. First of all, Rob Marshall directed it, you know, and he went on to direct Chicago,
the movie version.
But Annie was his first first movie that he directed and choreographed. He had choreographed for television Cinderella, which I had also done with him. But then Annie, he called me and said, "Would I play Daddy Warbucks?" And I thought he was insane. I'd never seen the show. I didn't know anything about it really, other than I knew that song, of course. And he convinced me that it would be great, and it turned out to be one of the most enjoyable things I've ever done. And I love the fact that, you know, when like crew members on the shows that I've worked on will come up and say, "Oh, my kids, you know, loved you and Annie," and it was like, it's so sweet that mm-hmm. you know, when they meet me, they know that's Daddy Warbucks. And it's for me, you know, it's different only in that it's just a more intimate kind of setting for acting. You still have to get to the core of what you're saying and what you're doing, and then the truth of what's going on in the scene. So it's just, in a way, it's easier because you just have that intimacy, and of course it's pre-recorded, so you don't have to do it 8 times, and it's the songs, and so for me, I loved it. I loved the experience of doing it for TV.
Just one more thing. You told us before that after playing the sailor Anthony in Sweeney Todd, you felt like you needed out after a while because you just couldn't play that naive anymore.
Yeah.
But now in your career, you're playing so many cynical people. Like even in Follies, like your character, he's a pretty cynical character. And of course, in Alias, you're this like double agent who's, you know, never really revealing emotion. And do you feel, you know, and then in the TV series that you were in, Justice, you're, you know, like a manipulative lawyer.
Hideous, yes.
Yeah, so do you feel like you've gone to the other end now?
Well, first of all, it's more fun to play. You know, it's always more fun to play. But the for me, you know, why they're fun to play is because they're that way for a reason. They come from a place either of pain or a flawed core that makes them turn into these arrogant idiots or cynical people. It's where they come from that makes it interesting to play, because then you get to hopefully see the cracks. And that's what I try to do, even with Jack Bristow. You know, his love for his daughter was overwhelming, and he just couldn't express it. But every now and then you'd see a hint of it, or you'd get a glimpse of it in their relationship. And that was what made him dimensional, hopefully. And so anytime I play a character like that, it's hopefully to, you know, make it dimensional and three-dimensional, and you see the other side and how they got to be that way. And that's what was so great about Ben Stone and Follies, because, you know, the last part, the last number is when you see it all unravel.
Well, Victor Garber, thank you so much for talking with us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Victor Garber was just in a New York City Center Encores production of Stephen Sondheim's Follies. The Encores series continues this spring with Irving Berlin's Face the Music and an original review called Stairway to Paradise. We'll close with Victor Garber from the soundtrack of the TV production of Annie. I'm Terry Gross.